morning, Central Baptist family, and others joining us for these morning devotions. It's Monday morning, the 6th of April, and we're still in lockdown. And so we proceed this morning, we're continuing with 2 Peter in our devotion. And I brought my youngest daughter to join me this morning in this devotion. Her name is Michelle, but she prefers to be called Shelley. So Shelley, why don't you read for us those opening verses from 2 Peter?
So 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he was granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire.
Right, thank you, Shelley. And what we're going to do in this devotion this morning is we've compiled just three questions. And Shelley is going to be asking those questions. And of course, we'd love you to be thinking through not only the questions, but the answers, because a lot more can be said in each particular instance. So Shelley, let's get to it. First question that you'd like to ask me this morning.
So what does it mean in verse 1 to have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours?
Right, good question and encouraging answer. Remember that this letter, and we see this in the opening verse, is written by Simon Peter. It is the Apostle Peter writing this particular letter. And by saying those words, he's actually destroying any difference that people might think or believe that there is between clergy and laity. There, in fact, is no difference between the Apostle and the Christian people that he's writing to. They all are of equal standing before God. So we as Baptists have a certain principle. We call it the priesthood of all believers. We all stand on level ground. There is no need to have a priest. There's no need to have a pastor, somebody else accessing God on our behalf, because Jesus is our high priest and has done that already for us. And so all of us can be involved in ministry. God has given to us different gifts to be involved in the body. And so in this wonderful privilege that we have, each of us equal before God in seeking to serve him and to follow him. So Shelley, that's the first question. Perhaps let's move on to the second question that you have now.
So what changes in someone's life when they become a Christian?
Very important. There are changes. In fact, there ought to be changes that come about in the life of a Christian. A lot can be said, of course, in this passage regarding this, but let me at least pick out some of the outstanding ones. We have obtained, those who are believers, have obtained not only this equal standing, but we have been given the righteousness of Christ. And so it's not our particular good works or ability or credit that earns us acceptance with God, but it's the righteousness of Jesus that in fact is credited to our account. So we enter into a context of benefiting from all that Jesus accomplished on our behalf. He uses the words here, grace and peace. So grace is a gift that God gives. It's an undeserved gift. It's unmerited. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. He gives it to us as a wonderful gift, and we just receive it by faith. But then he goes on also to speak of peace. And so that's something else that changes in the life of a Christian. We have peace with God. We no longer stand as those who are enemies of God. We are no longer those who are subjected to the wrath of God. In fact, we are children of God. We've been adopted and included into his family. And so therefore God enables us, as we move on in this passage in terms of change, to become more and more holy. You'll notice that he says that his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, enabling us to pursue godliness and righteousness. And then I think the next question will probably help us as we go forward. Shelley, what is the next question that you have?
Can you explain verse 3 and 4?
Well, 3 and 4 have some difficult concepts that I'm going to try and illustrate to you. He does speak here about granting us the promises, these great promises that God gives us. And we can go right back to the book of Genesis, where we see God making promises to Abraham and his seed. And of course, ultimately, Jesus is the seed, but those who become Christians participate as beneficiaries of what the seed achieved and accomplished. So we can become and do become what Peter describes here as partakers of the divine nature. Now, I need to say, first of all, what that doesn't mean. That certainly doesn't mean we become God. God is God alone, but we become partakers of something of his nature that he shares with us. We become united with Christ. And perhaps an illustration I can use there. Who would be my closest relative? I think it would be Mom.
Okay, yeah.
Mom is my closest relative, but she's not a blood relative. She's my closest relative because the Bible tells us, for this reason a man will leave his mother and father and shall be united with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so there's a union, there's a coming together of a husband and wife in this mysterious relationship. Well, something very similar happens when you become a Christian. You become united with Christ. And so you share with him the benefits of his work, and he shares with us something of his nature, not all of his nature. The old theologians used to speak of communicable attributes. There's some attributes of God that he shares. He shares with us something about his love and his justice and his mercy and his patience and some of the other moral attributes, so that we can become more and more like Christ in his moral nature. Having been made in the image of God, the image that was defective, but becoming a Christian, becoming a new creature in Christ, enables us to participate in this union with Christ. And of course, we leave behind what the passage tells us, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. That is just perhaps a taste of what these verses are saying. And so perhaps, Shelley, just the final word from this passage this morning. It's a wonderful privilege to be a Christian. So it's an amazing thing to receive the grace that God gives to us who are so undeserving. And it's mind-blowing to see the benefits that we enjoy as those who are children of God. So be encouraged today if you're a believer. You're one of God's chosen and beloved children. Chosen people, royal priesthood, a people belonging to God, so that we may declare his praises amongst the peoples of the world. So God bless you and be with you today. Amen.